You're listening to Captain John Doe, real aviation stories told anonymously. Let's get into it. Welcome back to the Captain John Doe podcast. I'm Mindy.
And I am Kevin.
And we're back in full force. We shoved out an episode last week because we are so dedicated to this weekly show, even though we were incredibly sick.
Not doing okay.
But we're so good. We are so back. And we have a fantastic episode out for you guys today. We got some really great listener stories. But first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day.
It's arguably my favorite holiday.
What?
I'm just kidding. No, I love Irish food.
You do. I'm not. I do love, what is it called? Shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
That's Irish, right?
I guess. I'm thinking more corned beef hash.
I like corned beef hash.
Maybe corned beef and cabbage.
Okay. I guess I do like Irish food. You know? I was thinking more like bangers and mash. I'm not really into that.
You know, what just made me think about is when we were young bucks, just getting going, not even married yet, we spent our first St. Patrick's Day away from the nest in Chicago where we lived, and they dye the river green.
Yeah, that was a really fun time. That's one of the top cities to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in. So if you guys are traveling for the holiday, I'm sure that you'll be at one of these top cities. Of course, Dublin, Ireland, Boston. And I think Boston was on a list that I looked at because they have a high density of Irish people at a huge parade. Chicago, because they dye the river green. And then Savannah, Georgia is the St. Patrick's Day of the South.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's popular, but it is.
I think Savannah celebrates every single cultural holiday. It's just another excuse to go there and...
That's party.
Party.
Party, party. I have not done the Savannah St. Patrick's Day, but I know friends that have gone to it, and it's kind of crazy. So like, don't take your kids, you know. Speaking of Dublin, I have a fun fact for you.
Say it.
Dublin, Ireland has been our top listened from city on the Captain John Doe podcast for the last 2 weeks.
Shout out Dublin.
Isn't that really
cool? That's
so cool. I was shocked. I just was looking at some of our analytics today on where people are listening from. Let me see real quick how many countries total that we're in. It's just kind of mind-blowing how media can be reached to people these days. We're in 40 countries. People from 40 countries have listened to our podcast. And right now, the number one city is Dublin, Ireland, which is just shocking to me.
Shout out Irish. I always, for my Dublin people out there, wanted to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I don't know. It never happened. I know that doesn't matter at all, but they are the Fighting Irish. So
Fighting Irish.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of us.
Have you been to Ireland?
I want to say yes.
What do you mean you want to?
When I was a baby.
Why would you be there when you're a baby?
Because my uncle lived over in England, and I believe my mother took us on a little trip, and I think we went to Ireland, but I'm not sure. Since you brought it up.
Money well spent.
Since you brought it up, I would love to go golfing up in Ireland.
That would be a really cool trip for you. One day to go golfing there. I have been to Ireland one time. I want to go back again, but the one time I went to Ireland was I was flying a Citation Longitude on my first Atlantic crossing, my first big girl trip across the pond, and flew to London for several days. And then on the way back, we didn't quite have the range to get back to New York direct. So our choices were to fly a little bit on that side of the pond, land and come to New York, or fly to Maine, clear customs, and then do a tiny hop to New York. So we decided that we would get our fuel and we could actually go through U.S. customs as well in Shannon, Ireland.
It just made me think, because I was thinking of the customs thing. We took Ethiopian Airlines back through Dublin, Ireland on our trip home, because Ireland has that reciprocity where if you, I guess, port of entry there, you can clear customs.
You can clear U.S. customs there. So,
so I have been to Dublin.
Yeah, we did together, but we weren't, we didn't get off the airplane. They made us stay on it while they refueled, remember?
Yes. Yeah.
But yes, and honestly, I've been to Ireland.
I was going to say, I was just thinking, you went to Dublin like 2 years ago.
Yeah, totally right. So on this trip, though, we flew the Longitude and the Shannon, got off the plane, went to the FBO, cleared customs, passports, bathroom, snacky, back on the plane. So I was on the ground for, I don't know, maybe an hour in Shannon. But it was beautiful flying in there. Something about Ireland, it's just so green. Like, it's just like the Windows backdrop. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it reminds me of. I know that they have a lot of like overcast, kind of rainy-ish days, but when they have a nice day there, it is like top tier nice day. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying.
But yeah, I did go to Dublin once, had a good time for a 24-hour layover there and did the Jameson tour, went out to some pubs, went to, oh God, whatever the most famous tourism Irish pub is. I forget what it's called. You guys will know. Did all that really quickly. But to wrap that up, happy St. Patrick's Day. And shout out to our Irish listeners.
Shout out.
And Irish listeners, submit us your stories. I want an Ireland story on our podcast.
I want someone that works Shannon Center on the podcast. Because I think it's so cool that that's the first facility you talk to once you, I guess, leave U.S. control, and it's Shannon, Ireland. Mm-hmm. You know, Shannon Center. You're like, oh, I've almost made it.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say the one thing about flying through there is their accent was so thick. The air traffic controller on Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon, it was so thick. I had to listen so hard to make out every single word.
They're listening right now to you saying it's your accent.
Yeah.
Not our accent.
I know. It's all relative. We have other good news.
Mojo is out of annual. Woo! Mojo. Round of applause.
Mojo is our 1957 Cessna 182, if you guys are new here. And annual inspection is exactly what it sounds like. It's a yearly inspection where you have to drop off your airplane to a maintenance shop, and they have a list of mandatory items that they have to inspect on the aircraft. Every single plane has to do this. It's not optional. If you do not go to your annual inspection, the plane is literally grounded. You're not allowed to fly it. So this is not like, oh, something's broken, let's go to the shop. This is, everything's fine on our plane and we have to go to the shop anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a doctor checkup. It's a physical, you know?
Yeah. Really, when you're thinking about annuals, there's so much online about this. Like, you have what Mindy said, the required inspections, but then of course the mechanics are going to find work that needs to be done. So in aircraft world, we do preventative maintenance. We don't do reactionary maintenance.
Well, we do both.
Sure.
No, we do both.
Sure. But in general, we do preventative maintenance. So when the mechanic comes to Mindy and I and says, hey, this intake gasket needs replaced, we're going to probably say yes.
Yeah. And we're pretty, we're yes people.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different types of aircraft owners. So when you get to the end of this inspection, it takes a couple of days, and then they send you a report that says, here's all the discrepancies we found with your aircraft. Some on the list will be labeled as mandatory, meaning the plane may not fly. It cannot fly until these items are fixed. And then there's a whole separate category of optional items, of things that maybe, you know, wearing down, and say like, oh, if you don't replace it now, you might have to replace it in 6 months. So we might as well do it now. Or here's some cosmetic items to be aware of, whatever. So those are optional. So there's lots of different types of aircraft owners. Some owners say yes to everything. Like, I want a perfect airplane. And then some people just say yes to the mandatory items. And then some people say yes to all the mandatory and then cherry pick the optional. And we fall in that third category because we have an old plane. We are always going to have things that are cosmetically quote, broken or not perfect on our airplane because it's 70 years old.
Yeah.
If I had a 3-year-old airplane or something, I'd probably be saying yes to both lists because I would want it to be perfect. But it just depends on the vintage of your aircraft and what your style is. But we're pretty lax on what we say yes to because we do want it to be as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be interesting for you guys. People always ask us how much it costs to own a plane. And the biggest variable is this annual inspection. So we thought it would be really maybe useful to some of you guys listening and then everyone else who's just nosy. Well, we're going to tell you exactly how much it cost us.
Yeah, let's do it. Before I get into it, Mindy and I both agreed we wanted all three tires replaced. So that was the only kind of thing
I don't think it was optional, though.
No.
Our tread was gone.
It was gone. So that was the only thing that we knew that we were going to get. After that, everything else that I'm about to read, it was kind of...
Surprise.
Surprise. So when you do an annual, there's an inspection flat fee. You can find different shops depending on where you are in the country. This shop charged $2,000. So that right there, that fee is what Mindy said. That's the 3 to 4 day inspection. There's no work that's done. They just are doing what the FAA says to do. Then they come out with the list of discrepancies.
That's exactly right. On most small aircraft like ours, I'd say the inspection rate, like what you pay no matter what, it's just for them to inspect the plane, is between $2,000 and $4,000.
And before anyone comes at us at a certified shop,
yeah.
Okay, let's make this clear. We went to a certified shop.
You might can find a Jim Bob to do it for a grand. That's your hangar neighbor.
Yes.
But if you want a certified shop, really quick, we'll talk about that just for a second. A potential reason that you want to go to a certified shop is that they have insurance, mm-hmm. right? We, in the past in Florida, went to a certified shop. And then he informed us prior to one of our annuals that he lost his insurance. And we made the decision to not go back to him because, God forbid, something were to happen. And that thing happened because of the maintenance at the shop. You can't go after, like, you're...
I mean, you could sue them in a civil court, right?
You go after them personally, but, like, you're not going to get a lot out of that. And so, yeah, if something were to happen to us because of negligence of maintenance, because it just got out of the shop and something happened, our families wouldn't be able to go after anyone for that. Or even if it was something that we survived, you know, we wouldn't be able to go after anything. Anyway, something to consider. A lot of people don't consider that. I would use Jim Bob to change the oil on the plane or to do like little tune-ups that pilots are generally able to do anyway. But for a big thing like an annual, I'd suggest going somewhere that has insurance coverage just as a
professional. And it's going to cost more money. That's just the reality.
It does. Yeah.
One more note too. They wrote under here, part of the fee includes airworthiness directive research. So that's a huge thing. So for those of you that don't own airplanes, the FAA has these mandatory compliance items that come out. They're called airworthiness directives. If you do not comply with them, your airplane's not airworthy. So they kind of do all that back end work for you, which is really nice.
That should always be part of an annual.
I know.
But just...
All right.
I like this. So we're in at $2,000 to start.
In at $2,000. Then we go to the oil change. The labor costs $275. The oil costs $120.
So like $400 is for an oil change.
For an oil change.
That is something you can do yourself, and that's something that we've talked about before, but you want to get one done at annual as well, because it's just generally time to get one done. And then they can also send a sample off to an oil lab, and then they detect for trace minerals and metals and stuff.
Right. So they did send that out, and that was about $48.
So now we're in at $450 for an oil change. This is going to add up quick, guys.
Yeah. Then they changed both mains and nose tire tubes, which cost $550.
Nope, it didn't. $550 in labor.
I'm not. I they ch- they I didn't even talk about the actual part yet.
I know, but that
Yeah.
Sound like it's okay. All in. It was $550 for the labor.
Just to take it off and put them back on.
Yeah.
And then the actual tire itself, one of them cost $573. The inner tube was $355.
For one? So that's $900 for a tire for one side?
No. There's different tires. No, yeah, you're right. All right, so 573 times two, $355 times two.
Kev, why are you reading the invoice?
I want to read it.
Okay, well, no, it's two at 286, which equals 573. You're not reading this right.
Okay.
You're not an invoice guy, which is funny that you're the one reading it.
But, okay.
But try again.
So I'll try again.
The tire was
286.
Okay, and one tube
was 177.
Okay, so $500-ish for one tire, just under.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And then there was something six ply. I don't know what that is. $138.
Yeah, that's a tire.
And then there was, Kevin, there was a tube with the tire. Okay, so that's the nose wheel. Was $143.
Okay.
So our tires, I'll do a quick little math, was about $1,200 for all three tires, including the inner tubes.
Tires really get you, man.
So now we're at $1,700, not including the $2,000. So we're at, this is adding up way too quick, $3,700.
Okay, now let's pick out a couple other random ones where let's not spend too much more time on it. Tires were a big thing.
Yeah, here. Then they found that our aircraft was not idling appropriately, so they put some intake boots, which were only $110. And then they did a ton of different stuff with airworthiness directives that probably added up to another $200-$300. And then we got to the intake gasket and coupling. So our intake gasket and coupling apparently was not working properly. So they just replaced the whole entire system. That was about $1,100. That's not the exhaust, by the way.
Where are you looking?
So I'm looking right here. So this...
Where do you see $1,100?
Right here.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was... That was just...
That's a lot of labor. That was 10 hours of labor at 100 hours. Yeah. Or about 110.
He kind of walked me through it. So he basically had to take apart the exhaust system to get to this.
Yeah.
And this had all to do with the fact that our engine was not idling properly. He said it was hiccuping and... We, yeah. So
and then the other big item,
the next big item. So we got an exhaust system replaced last annual. And when the mechanic was actually doing these intake gaskets, they had to pull the exhaust pipe out. And there was a giant crack in the weld that attaches to our manifold. So
it was a bad part.
It was a bad part.
So nothing that broke because of the plane, but they think that it looked like, I think they said a cold weld.
Yeah.
Meaning like it didn't heat properly during the welding process and it just cracked on the weld that is straight from the manufacturer. That one's really frustrating because we got hit with $1,700 for this one part. And it's a part that we bought 1 year ago. So we are reaching out to the manufacturer to hopefully get reimbursed for that. But it is freaking airplanes. It's just, it's tough. So
we'll round this up. They gave us a 5% discount for being a first time customer.
That's actually really nice.
Drum roll. Total bill was $8,127.66.
For work that we went into not knowing about.
Not knowing about.
So again, it's not like we went to a shop saying like, oh, we have these things wrong. Can you fix them? We went to a shop saying like, oh, it's our time where you have to look at it every year and we get hit with an $8,000 bill.
Boom.
I will say that ebbs and flows. Sometimes like we've had as much, our very first annual was $14,000. And then we've had as low as like, $2,500 to $3,000 is usually like a really good year for us. But after 2 or 3 years of $3,000 annuals, you will always get hit with a $10,000 annual.
Always. Like, don't believe what you read on Facebook that you're going to have a $2,000 annual every year. Yeah. If you do, or if you're buying an airplane from somebody who says they've had $2,000 annuals every year, A, they're lying, or B, they're not maintaining their plane.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
They might think they are, but whoever's doing the work is just skidding right through it just to get to the end and get a paycheck and is not doing a thorough enough job, because it's true. Like, unless you have like some like experimental whatever, you should not have a $2,000 annual.
Like the annual itself costs $2,000. And I'm just looking, there's at least 10 ADs here that they looked over. You're paying for labor and they're not expensive. Like, it took them 30 minutes a pop, but that added up to $700 just like that.
Right.
You know, just for them to make sure our airplane was complying with the airworthiness directives that are mandated by the FAA.
All right, we'll move on. Annual inspections. Everybody, you know, every time you go in, you just hope and pray. But we are happy to have her back. And there is a sense of, I don't know, safety, obviously, that comes along with a fresh annual. There's that first couple hours where you're a little
nervous. I already did it.
Because you're nervous about it being fresh out of the shop and what could they have forgot to put back together. But after those first few annuals, you feel pretty good because you're like, man, this plane just got a thorough look over. Like, I feel pretty good about operating it.
Well, to be honest, when they found the crack in that weld, like, that's scary. Yep. Like, they wouldn't have done that if we didn't give them the A-OK to replace the gaskets.
That was optional.
It was optional. It wasn't an airworthy item. You know, like, yeah. That really is a little scary that we got lucky, because I don't know what would have happened. I mean, who knows when it would have failed or what type of incident would have happened.
Moving on, I have a couple of Starlink go-backs. We trashed everyone who complained about Starlink, and I want to clear up a couple of things for anyone who was punching air the whole time we were talking about that. Number one, the customer service of what happened was really bad. The fact that I think a lot of displeasure from the community of Starlink is that they woke up to an email that said your bill went from $60 to $250 or maybe $1,000.
Yeah.
And with no heads up, Starlink did not say, hey, over the next few months, we're going to be implementing a price change, whatever. To my awareness, they woke up to a surprise email. That's terrible customer service.
Yep.
And that would infuriate me on any subscription. My Adobe subscription, if I woke up to an email saying like, hey, thanks for subscribing all these years, now we're going to times five starting today, I would be really pissed off. Starlink is really great for people that don't have access to XM. We have XM in our airplane, which is freaking amazing. Shout out SiriusXM. But internationally, XM doesn't work. That's a domestic thing for the most part. So for a lot of international pilots, Starlink was really great to stay connected to their flight planning apps and get up-to-date weather and stuff. I 100% love Wi-Fi on board for people using it for flight planning and staying connected to your Garmin Pilot or your flight planning app or whatever. Think it's fantastic. I hate the idea, just to clarify, hate the idea of low time pilots in high performance aircraft, like a Cirrus, flying around solo with a laptop in their lap, doing emails and other bullshit that they don't need to be doing while they're flying. That's where my Starlink hate comes from.
Sure.
I just am a believer that if you can't shut your computer for 2 hours, either you have a big ego and you think you're more important than what you are, because you probably can't shut your laptop for 2 hours. The world's going to keep spinning. But if truly you can't, then do not fly, do your work, or hire a pilot. And if you're that important, you should got it like that. Hire a pilot.
You got it like that. And you probably can afford the $250 a month. But I agree with what you said. I had a really good example this past week with a customer who had Starlink, and we were doing a long IFR cross country. He flight planned on the ground, created the trips every which way, but then we didn't exactly know our ETA for every leg. So when we were in the air, he had internet and he was able to push his new flight plan of our next destination over. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yes.
But like, it's still limited in with the awesomeness.
No, like, it's not limited. It's just, can we trust people to be responsible with that resource?
Oh, it's an amazing piece of equipment. I think without a doubt, me and you will have Starlink in an airplane. Like, I think most GA pilots will, because Starlink will, or not even Starlink, a competitor will come out and realize that there is a need in the pilot community for Wi-Fi. You know, I think Starlink was just pushing a little bit too quick, and then they shit on all of us with upping their price overnight, which was not okay.
No, it's not. I just want people to be responsible with the resource. It's like, I envision it as the same thing as like a bunch of 16-year-olds who just learned how to drive and have a cell phone and are texting. That's how I feel about some of these pilots who are flying around using Wi-Fi, not for flying reasons.
I love your walk back, because you're still holding strong on your opinion, but also like, we're not trying to shit on you if you have Starlink.
No, because like, I want Starlink.
We want Starlink. But I think the reaction was just a little bit, you know.
I want to be in the passenger seat on my laptop while you're flying, though. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Or I want to be able to be flying, and maybe a great resource for this, back to mechanical stuff, maybe you're seeing something strange and I can text my mechanic saying, hey, I'm in flight right now and there's this weird indication. Would love to have that connectivity, right? But yeah, I just want people to use it responsibly and not be flying around solo doing shit they're not supposed to be or not needing to be doing. That's all. I don't, like, don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Okay.
Like, literally, don't, like, collide with me in the air.
Because
you're on your laptop.
Or watching Netflix or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which we know you are. I'm not knocking you. But
just be responsible.
Yeah, be neighborly. Well, I think that we have done enough talking there about our little go-backs and mojo. So, as always, please head to our website, CaptainJohnDoe.com.
Hey.
What?
You skipped the
www.CaptainJohnDoe.com/Schmindy/Kevin. No. Anyways.
What a Kevin, because he normally says www.
Submit your stories, because we're going to read them, all of them, even the hate mail. The good mail, the hate mail, I'm reading them.
Don't send.
No, don't hate mail.
Don't encourage people.
Don't hate mail us. Hate mail.
It makes me sad.
They can be anything. You can even ask for advice, unsolicited. I know. I don't know what that word means.
Clearly, because that doesn't make sense. Ask for advice unsolicited. No, we are solicited.
Unfiltered. Is that the word?
I don't know what you're getting at. Now you're just getting delirious on me. But yes, if you go to our website, it's fully anonymous. And that's exactly what we read right here, right now on our show every Wednesday, Anonymous Aviation Stories. That's what this is all about. So head to the website, submit your story. You can submit a story, or you can ask us for advice that we will read right here on the show. And while you're at it, leave us a review, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media. Leaving reviews and ratings is very helpful to us, more than you know. So if you've been enjoying this on your Wednesday morning commutes to work, would really, really highly appreciate if you leave a review.
Just like old aviator said, great listening, 5 stars. If you're an aviation enthusiast, this is a must. The stories they read are sometimes insightful and always entertaining. The interaction between Mindy and Kevin just makes it all the better. Thanks.
Thank you.
Prop Jockey 57 said, I'm hooked. Great stories, and the dynamic between Mindy and Kevin is fantastic. This podcast is a must listen for anyone who loves aviation. I look forward to it every week.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope that we continue to bring entertaining stories to you guys. But that's on you. You know?
They're not our stories. Remember that.
They're not our stories. They're not made up. We're not like ChatGPTing these are literally, when you submit to the website, it automatically goes to a spreadsheet and we read them, period, full stop,
period.
Speaking of reviews and how much we love you guys, we do a merch drawing every single month in the year of 2026, and the next merch drawing is next week, episode number 36.
Ooh.
So listen up to see how you can win the merch. So we are going to pick a winner every fourth Wednesday of each month. You enter for free by following us on Instagram and engaging with our monthly giveaway posts. That's going to be up here. So go ahead and go check that out. By the time this is out, it'll be there. Leave us a podcast review. Send us a DM after you complete it. And that is an extra entry. We have a whole nother list of those of you that have been doing that. To leave a review, you just go to Apple Podcasts, scroll to the bottom, add your rating. It's open to U.S. residents 18 and older. Full rules are linked in our Instagram bio and on our website, CaptainJohnDoe.com.
Shall we read a story?
Let's get to the good part.
You're going to judge me because this story takes place south of the border and I don't know how to pronounce any of these cities.
Yeah, well, does anyone?
I don't know. Anyways, earlier in 2025, I was flying to Costa Rica from Nevada as part of a trip with a pack of Sirai. Sirai is plural for Cirrus. There's two parts to this story. Part one. We were the only SR20 among a group of SR22s and SR22 turbos. Our longest leg was from Tapachula, Mexico, it's on the border with Guatemala, to Liberia, Costa Rica. The flight had to be done IFR. Departing Tapachula, there's about an 80 nautical mile gap where Mexico air traffic control has handed you off, but Guatemalan air traffic control can't hear you at piston altitudes. And that sounds fun. Being the slowest, we were the first one to depart. This leg is also on the edge of my comfort level for the distance in the SR20. Inevitably, one of the turbos caught up to us at the exact moment we got in range of Guatemalan air traffic control. That turbo was less than 3 miles behind me and at the same altitude. Being on fingers, which for those that don't know, it's just a frequency we use to talk to each other.
Pilots, yeah.
Pilots. All together, we had already coordinated not knowing when we would talk to air traffic again. On initial contact with Guatemalan air traffic, they were quite panicked and immediately turned me off course. I asked them to reroute the turbo instead because of my fuel constraints, but no joy. The turbo chimed in. Some more negotiating and we were back on track. After all was organized, Guatemalan air traffic control asked, "Who put you like that?" To which the only response I could come up with was, Mexico? Part two. On the way home, due to the weather and the slowness of the SR20, we got left behind in Liberia, Costa Rica. Departing for Tapachula the next day, alone, we took off from Liberia. In our climb out, Costa Rican air traffic control informed us that Nicaraguan air traffic would not allow us to overfly the country because our overflight permit was for the previous day. They're supposed to be valid for 36 hours. An overflight permit can take days to weeks to obtain, so we had to press on. 40 miles off the shore of Nicaragua. We then asked Costa Rican air traffic to call Guatemalan to make sure we could overfly their country. If we reached there and got turned around, we would only have fuel to land in Nicaragua. They don't want us there. Thankfully, during this, we had Starlink, and I began coordinating with the trip organizer. It was at this moment he gave me a whole new perspective of flying myself internationally. Remember, neither Nicaraguan or Guatemalan have an air force. If you get there and they say no, keep going. We made it to safely to Tapachula and eventually home. It was an adventure, and that was only a couple stories.
Okay, that's hilarious. Let's start with the first part of the story, going down there. First of all, this sounds really fun that they
have
airplanes together to go on an international trip. You see a lot of these like Air Journey and stuff that coordinate stuff. This, I don't know if this was part of that, but I love that people are getting together and going to stretch their envelopes and stretch their legs a little bit further than they would solo.
This absolutely.
Really, really cool. But yeah, that's really funny. I love that they had coordinated with each other already on being so close to each other. I wonder if they were actually IMC. They said it had to go IFR. If they were actually IMC, I can understand why that's a little tight. But good on this pilot for pushing back on ATC when they had fuel restraints, because that can be really hard to get the courage to do, especially in international airspace.
Where, as we've learned, they're on specific flight plans with specific permits. So air traffic is not going to allow deviations.
Well, they put them off course because of the traffic.
I know.
But they pushed back saying like, no, like reroute the other guy. And like, that takes a lot of courage sometimes to speak up for yourself.
Right? I love that they blamed it on Mexico, though.
Yeah.
Come on. Mexico. But I mean, if they were truly IFR, like, yeah. I mean, what else would they do? I don't know. I've never flown down there. Have you ever flown?
No.
So I have no understanding. I know all of my buddies that fly down there, they generally say Mexico is pretty kosher. Once you keep going south, air traffic gets a little bit different with like radio coverage, like they experience. I mean, 80 miles without hearing anybody. That's a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, you're just sitting there like, I'm lost. Like, you think the world is falling. Why am I not hearing anybody?
It sounds
What's
like they knew
on?
That, though, because that's why they were coordinating on fingers, because they knew they were going to a dead zone. But it doesn't make it any less, scary.
Yeah, and that leads into part two. Once again, I'm not familiar with the rules, but you telling me that you have to have a permit and then they're saying you ain't going nowhere. Like, you're not going in that country, even though you plan for that, you fuel plan for that. That takes a lot of work. And as we mentioned earlier, Starlink saved the day, it seems like.
Yes, I love the reason that they use their Starlink here. This is a prime example on why Starlink is great when used responsibly, that they use their trip organizer. So a lot of times when you fly international, whether you're in a piston or in a jet, you have a handler. That's what they call, or an organizer. And it's someone who specializes in flight planning internationally. So they're going to file all your permits for you, for example, to fly over other countries, to land in other countries. What does customs look like? What visas do you need? It can be so complex. And then you're also trying to make sense of airspaces as a pilot and like flight planning and places you're not familiar with. So you offload the paperwork business to someone else. So I love that they reached out to their person via Starlink, saying, hey, we might have a problem because if we can't overfly, was it Guatemala?
Nicaragua.
No, they already weren't flying over Nicaragua. It was the next, if they couldn't fly over Guatemala, they were going to have a fuel issue. So, and I love the response. Whoever their trip organizer is a G, saying, remember, neither Nicaragua or Guatemala has an Air Force. If you get there and they say no, keep going, which is hilarious. They're not going to shake you down. Keep flying.
Oh, my gosh.
It's hilarious and true.
It is true. What are they going to do? I mean, at the end of the day, get back in the Mexican airspace and then get back into U.S. airspace as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's funny. But they did make a big concession by flying 40 miles off the shore of Nicaragua. That's quite the offshore adventure. I wouldn't love doing that.
Not a 20. Like, I know, but a 20, nothing against your plane. I'm sure you have a beautiful plane, but like, if there's anything that you need to get yourself out of, like serious weather, the turbo, the 22 at least has the capability of like climbing or going faster. The 20 is relatively like the 182, where we're pretty much there.
We're limited.
We're just buckling in and we're taking the abuse.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a really fun trip, though. I would love to hear more about it.
Yeah, how'd you figure this out? Reach out to us, like, and talk about trip handler and how much effort or planning came into doing this, because that is a big trip. Costa Rica doesn't seem like it's that far, but you're crossing many countries.
Yeah, no, this is a big deal. And they started right here in Nevada, right?
Shocker.
Here in our backyard. I think that's pretty awesome. Okay, we ready for the next story?
Do it.
I'm excited to read this. I only read like the first three lines, so I hope that this stays on track for me. My best friend and I, both pilots, hatched a great plan. Wait a second. I'm missing the very first part of this. I'm positive. I had some formatting issues. Keep people entertained while I look at this real quick.
Well,
that is the beginning.
I was about to tell us last time I've been to Nicaragua.
Have you?
No. I was going to make it up.
Why? I feel like there's always something like before this.
I don't know. I've never seen this story.
Me neither. Okay, but we're just going to roll with it. Okay. Back to it. Okay. My best friend and I, both pilots, hatched a great plan. Fly his Cirrus from Colorado to the LA area for a concert. Along for the ride were two passengers, a mutual friend, and a guy only my best friend, we'll call him John, knew at the time. For the sake of the story, let's call the new guy Brian.
Hey, Brian.
So it's a guy and his best friend John, a mutual friend, and Brian. A couple days before the departure, inspiration struck. A practical joke. And before you judge, yes, Brian was younger. He was into extreme sports and known for being up for anything. If he had shown even a hint of nervous flyer energy, this plan would have never left the runway. The idea was simple. I pretend I wasn't a pilot at all. During the first half of the flight, I'd pepper John with enough clueless questions to make sure Brian believed I had, at best, a YouTube deep understanding of aviation. Then, at our mid-flight fuel stop, I'd ask John if I could try flying from the left seat.
Oh my.
And from there, we'd see how far we can push it. Remember, they're both pilots, so he's just acting.
Yeah.
I recruited John and our mutual friend, each with crucial roles. Oscar-worthy performances were expected. The big day arrives. Once we're in the air, I started gently. So, how do you know how high to fly? What's this number on the screen mean? I'd even briefly take the controls and immediately send us into a sloppy turn with a little altitude loss, just enough to guarantee that no sane person would ever believe I had any business flying. We land for fuel. Showtime. Hey, John, I've been watching you fly the whole time. Do you think I could try? If I mess anything up, you can just take over. John says, sure, yeah, I'll be right next to you if anything goes wrong. It's really not that hard. I think you got it. Brian says nothing, but his body language is loud. He's tense, polite, and clearly unwilling to challenge the lunatics that he's trapped in a small plane with. I start in with some rookie questions. So what do these pedals do? So if I want to go right, I just push the right one. It's important to stay straight on the runway, right? When do I know it's time for the plane to start flying? John guides me through taxiing, gets us lined up on the runway, handles the radio calls. I can practically hear Brian sweating. Then comes the big moment. Okay, John says, push this thing, the throttle, forward slowly. Try to keep us on the center of the runway and I'll tell you when to pull back. Just don't pull too hard. Just enough for a nice, easy climb. I lean into my character, hesitating, second guessing, perfectly embodying guy who absolutely should not be doing this and has a bit off more than what he can chew. And somehow, naturally, the plane lifts off. Brian? Frozen, not breathing, possibly transcending. About 500 feet up, he suddenly emits a quiet, nerve-soaked laugh in the I'm so happy to be alive territory and blurts, you guys are effing crazy, man. I mean, effing crazy. He's okay, not thriving, but alive, second-guessing his life choices. We keep the bit going until reality interrupts. We needed a pop-up IFR clearance. The second I call center, the jig is up. You can't, well, shouldn't, sound like a nervous newbie when requesting an IFR clearance. The rest goes smoothly. We shoot an ILS and IMC, land without drama, and spend the weekend laughing about it. Brian turned out to be a fantastic sport. Looking back, I don't think we broke any FARs. John did the passenger briefing. I was fully legal to act as PIC, and the FAA hasn't came calling yet. It just felt like it had to be illegal, given the level of psychological turbulence that we put Brian through.
I really appreciate how far you took this. Like the psychological turbulence we put Brian through that last ending. Like, first of all, well written. Second of all, I assume you and Brian are like best friends now.
Right.
Because it sounds like they weren't like that close prior to this, right?
Call this trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah.
I don't think that I would ever have considered doing this, nor will I, but I am really happy for you.
No, this is so funny. I think this is way funnier than people who do the zero G movement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for everyone listening, when you have a new passenger on board in a small plane, pilots love to do this little trick, the zero G maneuver, which is where you quickly push the nose over the plane down towards the ground. And for a couple of moments, everything in the aircraft goes weightless. You have zero G, zero gravity. And all the pens and notebooks and drinks all go to the ceiling of the airplane. And you have weightlessness like you're in space for just like a millisecond. And it's scary to a passenger who hasn't experienced it at first. But then like it's quickly over and it's a ha ha ha. I've seen so many of those. I'm kind of over it. Like, and also like depends on the passenger on who you should do that to. This is way more crafted and I respect it. It's hilarious.
This goes back to what we were literally just talking about yesterday, that like, this is no shade on people who don't fly, but you're just so unaware of what's going on. And Brian, whoever you are, sitting in the back, and he knows he's uncomfortable, but doesn't know why. And it's because the guy's faking like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, passengers expect when they get on an airplane that there's a professional pilot sitting up front flying them. And that's the end of it.
Even still, they're nervous.
And even still, they're nervous. So this guy obviously is pretty cool to not have a full-on planet.
You can't do this to just anybody.
No, God, I can't even do zero G with my mother if I had her do it on herself, like if I told her to do it.
No, this is for a special person, and these guys who did this are also special people.
Yeah,
I love that it was 3-1. It reminds me of, hold on,
I don't know what you're asking me.
What is the TV show called where there was all actors, but one person wasn't an actor? And it was, The Jury, called Jury Duty. Jury Duty. Do you remember that?
Nope.
Jury Duty was a TV show kind of recently where they created a case in that people were going in for jury duty, but everyone was an actor. The judge, the other jury people, the lawyers, everyone. Except one person who came on the show, and it was all centered around this person that was not an actor. They thought they were actually going in for jury duty, but they filmed the whole thing, and it was hilarious, and it was like a really feel-good show, because at the end, the guy who wasn't in on it had to make like some very big moral decisions and did them all perfectly, exactly how you'd want to see yourself on TV.
So it's more people would know the Truman Show. So the Truman Show is what you're kind of talking about, when Jim Carrey was the only one in the show that didn't know he was in a show.
Yeah. So that's what this reminds me of. So I love it where they were all acting and there's one person not in on it.
Yeah.
And executed beautifully. I don't hate that it ended in this way.
No, I do.
I wish it went further. Because it was getting really hilarious. And I'm wondering why John didn't get the pop-up IFR clearance.
Well, they clearly had briefings about who's doing what. But yeah, I would have loved to see them take it down to the landing. Because then like the reality's coming in. Like, oh my God.
The lead up to the landing would have been so scary.
So what do we do here?
And then you just butter it on and be like, beginner's luck.
Oh, anyone can do it.
I should become a pilot. Anyone can do it. And then Brian's like, can I fly next? And they're like, no.
That's where I thought the story was ending, is I thought you were going to say Brian asked to fly next. Oh. Yeah. But I didn't know that they had to kill the bit because they went into IMC.
That's hilarious. That really catapults you into a great weekend with the boys.
With the boys. Great story. I'd like to hear more about you doing this to people.
Can you do it again? This is so funny.
Yeah.
Maybe even video it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Make your own Truman Show.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. We should steal this idea.
I'd watch it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My gears are turning. You know how I really love to create shows on my head.
You want to make
We've
shows.
Already talked about it.
I know. You
All my shows. Pilot reality shows I've come.
Oh, my gosh. No.
These guys need to be on my show.
Yeah. Okay.
They're prime characters. Great story. That's hilarious.
All right. So we're going to end the show with an advice section. We love getting these. So we shall see what type of advice you got. I met some great aviation social media people at events like Oshkosh meet and greets. There was one couple that I chased down. While they were walking at Oshkosh to show them, I was wearing a Chase and Tailwinds hat. They were terrific and super nice. When I told my wife, she said I was crazy and they probably thought I was creepy. What is the best way to approach aviation social media people without being that creepy guy? This is not for me because I am not in this world.
It's for you. This no. is about us. Okay, no. So if you guys don't know, Chase and Tailwinds is our brand. Many years ago, we came out with a media series of videos called Chase and Tailwinds, where myself and Kevin would fly in our aircraft or other planes were featured on the show as well to go do different adventures. And the point of it was to inspire other people to use their aircraft for adventures. And on our website that accompanied each video was an exact travel template itinerary on how you achieve exactly what we did in the video. And it was so much fun. So, for example, we flew to Pompano, Florida, and we stayed at a really awesome Airbnb, and we went on a charter fishing trip and everything. So we, on the itinerary on our website, you would see exactly what airport we took off and landed at, how we got to our Airbnb. So if there was a rental car on site we used, I had that on there. If we just Ubered, I would tell you, gave a link to the Airbnb we stayed at, gave a link to the charter captain that we used. Like, you could do our exact video. And now I'm talking about it. I'm getting re-inspired to do this.
Well, I was going to say something funny that you're going to get annoyed at me with, but a lot of people have asked if we are rejuvenating Chase and Tailwinds. I'm going to say the answer is no, but if you want a little secret, there might be two unpublished episodes that no one will ever see, and maybe they might come out.
They're so old now. I don't know.
But they're really good.
Yeah, we do two episodes that never aired. Maybe we'll put them out. Anyways, it was such a fun series, but it was incredibly expensive. So I had an actual like TV producer editor. So editing services were really expensive. And I didn't want to edit the series myself because I wanted it to have a certain look that I, as an editor, wasn't able to achieve. And this editor was freaking fantastic. We also had it on a TV streaming platform, on an online one called Carbon TV. It was so much fun. And we had a lot of new followers and fans during that time. So anyways, getting back to this, this person was...
Give them your advice, because this is
this
not...
This person was wearing a Chase and Tailwinds hat, which we had sold merch for a short time. So anyone who has our very limited run on merch has a special place in my heart. So this person says that they chased us down at Oshkosh wearing a Chase and Tailwinds hat. They were terrific and nice. When I told my wife, she said I was crazy and they thought I was creepy. What's the best way to approach aviation social media people without being the creepy guy? You're not creepy, like, at all. As an aviation influencer, social media content creator, whatever, I put content out there publicly because I want it to be consumed. I want people to like it and be inspired by it. And there's nothing better than someone coming up to me and telling me that they appreciate my content, or that they've watched it or enjoy it, or that it inspired them in some sort of way. The in-person interactions that we have are so powerful. I get a lot of DMs and messages, and I love that as well. But when I get to see someone's face and look in their eyes and ask about their aviation journey and have a 5-minute chit chat, that is so fueling to me. I get so inspired myself to continue to do what I'm doing, because it is hard to put content out there and be vulnerable. But when people come up to me, I freaking love it. The only time I get uncomfortable the only time I feel, we'll put in air quotes, creeped out is when I can tell that someone recognizes me and they are maybe too scared to come over or whatever. And I just feel like I'm being watched from afar for a long time. I would much rather you just come up to me and say hello and ask for the picture or share stories or whatever you want to do. But when I feel like I'm being watched or followed, and it's typically, I think it's just someone that's too nervous to come up, which I feel for, that's when I feel uncomfortable. And I still don't feel creeped out, I guess. I just feel uncomfy because I'm like, it would be egregious for me to go to that person because, like, what if they were not looking at me for that reason and I, like, tagged it wrong? That'd be so embarrassing. So I can't break the ice. You have to break the ice.
Yeah. Let me give a little insider trading, and I'll speak in a broad sense. So I've been attached in this, like, offset of this influencer space. I am not one, but my wife is one. Because of that, we are very close with a lot of the creators in our space. Whoever you are that wrote this in, all of these creators go to Oshkosh for one reason: to show face and to meet the people that support them creating all their content.
Yeah,
that's why they're there. Like, it's not like they're there to see you. Like, they're like, don't feel creeped out. And if somebody doesn't want to talk to you, they'll probably be honest and still nice about it. I don't know anyone specifically that we hang out with that's not going to at least give you 2 seconds of your time.
100%. Yeah. If you're at an aviation event, 100% go up. If you see a creator that you love, or you just want to tell them that you appreciate them or whatever, 100% go up to them. They want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time we really get that feedback in person. It really fuels our fire. Like, 100%. The only time where I really sometimes don't want people coming up is when I'm like out in the wild, we'll say, when I'm out flying my own airplane and I'm like clearly busy, like pre-flighting or about to get in the plane and crank it up, and someone will come over, and as I'm like putting the seatbelt on, is engaging in a really long conversation, and I'm like, I've really got to go. And I don't want to be rude and say that. It just kind of puts me in a pickle.
It literally happened the other day. It just was like unfortunate, because we're not trying to be rude to the guy, but like, it's time. We said clear.
Yes, we had already cleared prop. Our windows were open because we had yelled clear prop. Like, we're in seatbelts, and a guy ran over like, wait. Like, hey, I just want to introduce myself. I'm so and so. We're like, great. Like, would love to, like, to talk to you some other time, but we really got to go. Like, we're cranking up here. And it was fine. But I think I've spoke about it before, like getting interrupted when you're doing pre-flight is like a tough spot. Maybe I put too much weight on that.
I don't think so. I think that's fair. Like, that's the line. There is really no other line, especially at Sun and Fun in Oshkosh. You're there to meet people. But if we're flying, yeah, like...
Well, I'm not saying don't come up to us in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
Please do. But there's just like, when you see a pilot doing their pilot thing, maybe give them some space. And I was inspired by another creator that I saw do this. This creator was pre-flighting at a very stressful time. We were all leaving Oshkosh at the same time, and it was just a chaos. And some people came up to this creator and wanted to take photos with them. And the creator said, hey, this is really not a good time. I'm in the middle of pre-flighting and departing, but thank you. And sent them away. And didn't do a handshake, didn't do a photo and stuff. And I was inspired by that because I can be a pushover and be like, try to people please. And I love that this creator drew a line and said, hey, I'm in pilot mode right now. Would love for this to happen another time.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And I took that with me. That was 2 years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since. So if you see your favorite pilot person doing pilot things, what I would suggest is just say, you know, like, hey, Mindy, I'm a fan of yours. Like, whenever you get a good moment, I would love to say hello and just kind of hang there for a minute, maybe. And maybe I do stop what I'm doing and come say hello real quick. Or maybe I finish my pre-flight and then come tend to it. But yeah, just being respectful of when pilots are doing pilot things.
The other thing I noticed too is like we could be in a conversation like with our buddy that we hang out all the time and someone might be standing off to the side. Come and say hi.
Interrupt.
Like yeah, just come and say hi. Don't wait. Like you don't know who we're talking to. And it could be another fan, but like, just come say hi and then hop out. Like, let's it's okay. Take
the situation really quick. We were at a fly-in recently and me and Kevin and one of our friends were catching up. We hadn't seen this friend in a long time. And we were talking there for like 30 minutes. And there was a gentleman just like kind of like right behind me that like kept looking at our group, was standing there like not talking to anyone with no agenda, clearly waiting on us for a time to like say hello. But like we weren't gonna like stop conversation and like invite him over, because what if he wasn't waiting to say hello?
Yeah, I know.
Then like how embarrassing would that be to be like, hey, are you trying to say hi to us? And he'd be like, who the F are you?
Yeah,
like
no.
F off.
Pretentious.
Yeah, but then after like 30 minutes in the hot sun, he finally got the courage to interrupt saying like, hey, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just want to say hello. And then I felt so bad. I was like, man, he was waiting there so long and we were just shooting the shit. So yeah, if you ever see, you know, your creator that you want to say hi to, I would just say, hey, so sorry to interrupt. I just want to say I love your stuff and
move on.
Yeah.
Like, and then if they want to talk, they'll talk. Like, that's how we're human. I mean, it's not me. I don't do this.
But to wrap this up, you're not creepy. You're not creepy. Like, creators put stuff out there to be consumed and to be loved.
Yeah, because of people like you, these things exist.
What things?
YouTube videos, aviation videos, like people watching them. If no one watched, you're not going to do it because it takes money and time.
Right. No. So say hello. You're not creepy or crazy at all. And I appreciate that you ran us down at Oshkosh. And I hope we get to say hello to you again this yes. year at Oshkosh.
And thanks for following Chase and Tailwinds.
Yeah. Yeah. You're an OG if you got Chase and if you got Chase and Tailwinds merch. That's like a high end person in our eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fancy.
Well, as always, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week, be sure to tune in because we will be picking the winner of the new t-shirt drawing.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for flying with Captain John Doe. If you have a story to share, visit CaptainJohnDoe.com and stay anonymous. New episodes every Wednesday. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and tell your favorite crew members.